Amen. Awesome. Well, praise God. I'm super happy that you're here to join us this morning. As Pastor Casey said, we have a really interesting, really awesome morning for you this morning. My name is Jeremy. If you don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here. I'm the Give It Away and Care Pastor, or the Missions and Care Pastor. And if you don't know what Give It Away is, we would say that it is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would say that at Grace Church, we want to go out and give away that good news to every person that we meet, because we want them to know the hope and the joy and the peace and the love that comes in a relationship with our Creator God. And so I get to do that. I get to serve in that. And you know what? This is a fitting day for our Global Partner Weekend, right? Because today is also the day of the beautiful game. The greatest, the largest sporting event in humankind is going to happen today at 3 o'clock, right? So I wore my USA shirt because, you know, cheering for the USA in soccer is kind of like watching the Browns play, well, pretty much any other team. And so I just thought I'd do that. Actually, it was a little cold here last night, so I thought I'd be warm this morning. But hey, we are so excited to have you here, and we are excited to have Pastor Jeremy from Trévoux, France. We're excited to have Ben and Tanya Falkenberg with us from Mazatlan, Mexico. And before we jump in, I want to just read this. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, right there on the screen. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I think that is beautiful, and that's what our Global Partner Weekend is all about, because these folks, they bring the gospel to their nations and to the people around them, and we as Grace Church want to bring the gospel to those around us. And how beautiful, God says, are the feet of those who bring good news. So Ben and Tanya and Jeremy, you want to come up, and we'll just jump right in. So they're going to come up, and I'm going to kind of interview them. They're going to tell you some awesome stuff. Yeah, thanks for, absolutely. So, I mean, first off, thanks so much for being here. All the way from Mexico, Mazatlan, all the way from Trévoux, France. What is it? Like 8-hour flight from France to here? And then how long does it take to get from Mazatlan here?
It's like a 3-hour flight to Dallas, and then like a 2-hour flight from Dallas to Columbus or Cleveland.
Okay. All right. So it's a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and so we're just excited that you're here. So I'm going to ask you first off, would you tell us a little bit about yourself, about your family, and kind of your calling to ministry? We'll start with Ben.
Sure. Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Ben. This is my wife, Tanya. And we have three little girls, Nola, Lena, and Shay. They're 12, 11, and 8. And well, before the Lord called our family to missions, we were living in Wadsworth, Ohio, right down the road. I'm from Wadsworth. I graduated from Wadsworth High School. And so we had settled into life in Wadsworth. We were there for about 10 years. We led Young Life for 4 years at Wadsworth High School. And we went to Grace Church for 10 years. And so, like so many of you guys, we were just kind of living life, working. I worked at Mercy Medical Center in Canton. I did anesthesia there. Tanya was at the Tangerine Parlor in Seville. And we were just living life, trying to serve the Lord, raise our kids well. And then the Lord had a pretty big curveball for us. In 2019, there was a missions conference at Grace Bath. And I was hosting a podcast at Grace Church. And the pastors asked if I would bring on a guy named John Reeser on the podcast. And so John is the founder of a ministry called Shoulder to Shoulder. And so John came on my podcast. We got to know each other. I thought, oh, this is a cool guy, cool ministry. You know, maybe one day we'll get to take a mission trip down there or whatnot. But then, man, a couple months later, I began to wake up, and I just felt in my soul this calling, this thought of, hey, Ben, you and your family are supposed to be there in Mazatlan serving with STS. And I'm like, what is happening, you know? And so sat on that for a while. Finally, I told her, and I said, I think God is calling our family to the mission field. And she said, you are having a midlife crisis. And I was like, no, I swear. She's like, this is absurd. No chance this is happening. But I said, I really don't think I'm having a midlife crisis. So I reached out to John and talked with him, and he said, well, this would have to all run through the church. And so I had a meeting with Grace Church and walked into the Know It, Live It, Give It Away office with the pastors and said, I think God's calling my family to the mission field. I'm terrified. I have no idea what to do. And that really started about a two-year journey between Tanya and I, Grace Church, and then the directors of Shoulder to Shoulder. And it was a tough grind, 2 years of us just trying to figure out, Lord, what do you have for us? But finally, we felt like the three of us were kind of all on the same page of like, God's calling you. You got to go. And so we left the United States in December of 2021, went to Costa Rica, did a year of language school, and then transitioned down to Mexico at the beginning of 2023. And so coming up on about 3.5 years in Mexico at this point.
Wow. That's yeah. Cool. Awesome. Praise God. Yeah. Thanks for that. Yeah. Jeremy, we'll ask you the same question. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and your calling to ministry.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. I was also serving in my church in France. I'm sorry, yes. This is my wife, my three kids, Quentin, Simon, and Anae. And so we were with my wife, we were serving in our church. And our pastor and our elders, they trained us into different ministries in church. And they finally sent us into ministry to plant a church in Trévoux. We lack many pastors, we lack many church planters in France. So they launched us. And 11 years ago, we started the church with a team of 18. Yes.
Oh, awesome.
And I'll be starting a PhD in September, as I'll be developing a bit later. Engaging French culture, it's a bit tricky. So I feel the need to be trained more.
Awesome. Well, we will definitely pray for your studies. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So again, thank you for being here. So maybe each of you could tell us a little bit about what your cities are like. We got the map up here, Mazatlan, Trévoux, kind of give you guys a sense of where those cities are within France and within within Mexico there. Could you tell us a little bit about your cities? What's Trévoux, Amplepuy, your church plant there like? What are those cities like? And what's Mazatlan like? So we'll start with you, Jeremy.
So Trévoux is a nice medieval city, 30 minutes north of Lyon. There's lots of lakes, lots of ponds, and so if you come to the region, you can eat frog legs in many restaurants. It's not really my thing, but if you want to try, you can.
Tastes like chicken.
Yes. And more generally, we are quite in a rural region, so as soon as you leave Trévoux, you are in the fields.
Yeah. Like Wadsworth. Yeah. And Medina. Okay, let's go on. Tell us a little bit about Mazatlan.
Yeah, so Mazatlan is super far west Mexico. It's on the coast. It's in the state of Sinaloa, and it's right up against the Pacific Ocean. So that part of it's beautiful. It's interesting. There's like two parts of the city. There's a real touristy part. It's almost like a Mexican Myrtle Beach. That's kind of how I look at it. And so there's lots of tourism, lots of Canadians and Americans that actually spend like their winters down there that are retired. But then if you go like two or three blocks off of the ocean, you kind of get into real Mexico. And that's where we serve. That's where all the pastors are located. And it's an interesting place. I mean, the gospel's never super moved through Mexico. It's such a Catholic nation, but even that's really kind of deteriorating into basically like a nominal atheism, like a belief in God, but it doesn't really have anything to do with my life. And so Mazatlan's estimated about 2-3% Christian, so pretty low. Our three girls go to school. We know of one other Christian girl in their three classes combined. And so the Mexican people are beautiful. We love them. They're so fun to be around. But it is a little bit of a spiritually dark place. And so we're excited to be there, to be a part of what we believe the Lord is doing and raising up leaders there. And so, yeah, it's loud. It's hot. Traffic's insane. And anytime a mission team comes down and we pick them up from the airport, by the time we get back to the base, they're like, I don't even know how you drive in that. So it's just kind of crazy. But the Lord's been faithful, and we've been able to get adjusted and build a life there.
Cool. Awesome. Well, Jeremy, maybe you could tell us a little bit about the work you're doing in France. We got the map up here of all the different churches that you're kind of working with right now. What's that mission in France look like?
Yes, so we try to develop gospel-centered church. In France, in general, it's not always true, but if you go to a big city, in general, you'll find a good church in the city center. But as soon as you leave the city, you can drive sometimes for an hour without a gospel-centered church. So we try to map the territory. So we started Trévoux 11 years ago. Now we try to bring the gospel to people in the east and in the west, and brothers from Charis churches try to do it in the south and in the east as well.
Awesome. So there's kind of a movement starting. You're trying to kind of map it out and figure
it out.
Go out from where you're at, which is a lot like Grace Church and kind of the way we do it in going out. So that's pretty cool. Ben, can you tell us a little bit about Shoulder to Shoulder? Why does it exist? What's the mission, the vision of the ministry there?
Yeah, so STS is all about the local church. We're big believers that God has one plan for the redemption of the world, and it's a church. It's plan A. There's no plan B. And so the reality is that God is transforming the world through his church. But as you look around the world, the majority of churches are barely surviving. They're not doing well. And so in our context in Mexico, there are thousands of churches, thousands of pastors that they are like literally the entire staff. It's just a completely different dynamic. And so they're alone. They lack resources. They lack training. They're often discouraged. And so we exist to serve, equip, and empower local pastors and churches. We want to see healthy pastors and thriving churches. And we believe that healthy pastors lead thriving churches, and thriving churches transform communities. That's what we're all about. So we're a pastoral care ministry. We try to engage with local pastors through, as we build trust, as we build friendship. We're basically seeing how can we serve them. That's really the point of the ministry. How can we serve these local leaders? And we believe that God has called us to come alongside local national pastors who he's already raised up. They just kind of need a little bit of help. And so we're able to come alongside them. We have a pastoral center in Mazatlan. We do biblical counseling. We do pastoral training. We do one-on-ones. We have a resource center. And basically, we're just there building friendship, boots on the ground with them day after day, wanting to see them grow as pastors, wanting to see their churches thrive in the way that they're able to impact their community. And so that's what we're giving our lives to. We're super excited. Actually, yesterday, we planted our second pastoral center, which is a huge step for us. We had been like a one-location ministry in Mazatlan, but yesterday we dedicated and opened up a second pastoral center in a city called Tepic, which is like 3 hours away, and so that's a huge step forward for us because we feel, much in the way that Grace is a movement, right? Grace wants to plant 30 churches in 30 years. We feel that the Lord has called us to plant pastoral centers. We look outside of Mazatlan, and we see pastors all over the region, all over the country that just need help. They need support. They need friendship, and we feel called to go, and so we're praying for the funding and the people that we can move pastoral centers throughout the region and bring more support to local pastors there.
Awesome. And it's incredible that you're able to build that relationship and then keep that going so those pastors can grow. I love that. So Tanya, then maybe that is good to transition to a question for you. Can you tell us a little bit about your primary roles at Shoulder to Shoulder and maybe what you enjoy most about those roles and serving there?
Yeah. So Ben and I are the directors of the Mazatlan base. So our primary role is to provide oversight, leadership support to our current team there. So we consist of 6 missionary families and individuals and then 5 local employees. So our primary role is to kind of oversee all the ministries that they are running. We are a bicultural team. That's something that we're very passionate about, that we are a mixture of Mexicans and Americans. We believe that we come together and we see a lot of fruit in that. We have different perspectives on things. We have different skill sets, different gifts. So it is a huge positive, but at the same time, it can come with some negative consequences when you blend it's complicated. When you blend cultures and languages together, it can be difficult. Statistically, the number one reason why missionaries leave the field is because of team dynamic, and they can't get along with their team to serve well. And so that's something we're super passionate about, is just a healthy team dynamic, getting to know our staff. How do they receive care? How do they need to rest? What skill sets do they have? What gifts do they have? How can we plug them into the right role? So we spend a lot of time focusing on that, which then trickles down into all the ministries we're doing. If our staff is healthy, they're going to be able to do their role and their ministry even better. And so what we enjoy is kind of different for both of us. I handle a lot of communication, team care, any sort of communication happening back with the United States, budgeting, all that kind of falls on me. But I really enjoy bringing clarity and equipping our staff to do their job well. Brings me a lot of joy. And then Ben, I mean, he gets super energized when he spends a day with the pastor. That's the whole reason we're there. So when he can spend a day with the pastor and walk with him and hear the vision the Lord has given him and then press in and figure out ways that we can help him, then Ben comes home and he's creating trainings and figuring out ways to help that pastor. So that's life-giving to him.
That's awesome. So there will be a whole bunch of things that you can kind of record in your brain or on paper and just say, hey, we can pray for that. And maybe one of those things is just that we can pray that the Holy Spirit continues to build the team in a way that there's cohesiveness. So that's awesome. Yeah, thank you. So Jeremy, there's a story that you could tell us about how God has impacted someone's life, how the gospel's impacted, changed someone in your church. Yeah.
Yes, sure. This last year, a family joined our church. And the father began to talk to me and he said, well, I've heard the gospel. I know the Bible. But he wanted more. And he really came to grip with the gospel last year. He told me that this rediscovery of Jesus quenched his thirst, and now he wants to be baptized this year. So that's really what, it don't always work, but that's really what we want. People who come face to face with Jesus, grasp the gospel, and live a life with him. So we are very thankful.
Awesome. Yeah, that's amazing. And this is a baptism at Châtillon-sur-Chalaronne. Châtillon. I'll say the first part, Châtillon.
Yes.
Right? I'm really bad at French. But this is your first baptism there, right?
Yeah, so that's on the eastern campus. First baptism, we are very thankful. And two ladies are currently discovering the gospel. One asked to be baptized as well. You can really pray for her.
Yeah, praise God. That's awesome. All right, so Ben, what are some of your current needs, like as a family and as a ministry?
Yes, so for STS, like I shared, we feel called to be a movement of pastoral centers. And so as we look at planting other pastoral centers in the region and in the country, obviously that requires like an army of people behind us. And so there's always an invitation. I always put out the invitation that we need people that will pray. We need people that will give, and we need people that will go, in the sense of everything that we do is fundraised by local churches here in the States and by people that believe in the ministry, believe in the mission of shoulder to shoulder. And then we're always praying that God would send us more people, send us the right people. And so, I mean, we never thought in a million years that we would be in Mexico. That was never on our radar. And so I always just share that with you. Like, man, we're praying for the right people that God would grab their life and say, hey, you're called to go be a part of that as well. And so maybe that's you. That would be awesome to chat with you if you feel like God's ever moving in your heart in that way. We need an army of people behind us as we try to serve, equip, and empower local churches throughout Mexico. And then for us as a family, we've been tremendously blessed. Grace has been a tremendous church, Grace Medina, for us. And I mean, there's a lot of faces in this room that have loved our family really well. And so we're so thankful for this church. And when we left the United States about 5 years ago, the Lord was so faithful to us, and we were able to get funded to go. And, just over time, as you guys are all living through, as the cost of living goes like this, and then we've been getting hit a little bit with the exchange rate from dollars to pesos is going like this, unfortunately. And then just the attrition of donors over the time. I mean, 5 years, you have people that kind of cycle on and off. But for us, this is the first time that we've been like, hey, there's a little bit of a gap in our funding. And so one of our goals this summer is to raise about $2,500 a month of additional support to help us meet those monthly needs as we're living in Mexico. And then we also have a unique need this year. As a family, we are finishing our 4-year temporary residency in Mexico, and we are going to apply for permanent residency in Mexico. And so that's pretty exciting for us. It means that we can come and go, and our kids as well, like freely for the rest of our lives to Mexico. And it's kind of a neat step to say, hey, we've journeyed, now we're going to be permanent residents of Mexico. But it also has like a pretty significant financial hit for us, just all the visa stuff and all that to transition to that residency. And then it also means that the day we become residents, our car becomes illegal. I made the drive from Wadsworth to Mazatlan 5 years ago or 4 years ago with my dog and our Honda Pilot, but that Honda Pilot will be illegal. And so we have to get rid of that and raise funds to be able to provide another good SUV for our family. And so we probably need to raise about $30,000 for that whole visa process and the additional vehicle. And so, yeah, I mean, we're just grateful for the opportunity from Grace Medina to share who we are, you know, what we're doing, and then to also share a little bit of our needs with you guys, because we know that, like, the church has come around us in an incredible way, and we're so excited to get to give our lives to this mission. But we just need some help right now to be able to do that well. And our invitation is that if you would be interested in that, that you'd grab a form out on our table out there. It's got all, like, the donor information and anything. Or if you just want to talk more or connect with us, man, we'd love to chat with you guys. We'll be out in the lobby to hang out after service.
Awesome. Praise God. Yeah, so We support Ben and Tanya, and we also, as a church, and we also support another missionary at Shoulder to Shoulder, Naomi Bogue, and absolutely love being able to do that. But like they said, like, we don't support their entire budget. We don't have the budget to do that quite yet, and so hopefully maybe someday we will. But if you, we would love for you to come alongside them in that way. I kind of think of myself, maybe this is a little bit prideful of a statement, but I think of myself kind of like the Apostle Paul saying, hey, when I come to your church, don't disappoint me. Take care of the people who need you so that they can continue to do the gospel work. So if you are someone and God is putting that on your heart, we would love for you to continue to care for them in that way. That would be awesome. And you know, we're so excited that we get to partner with you in that way as well. So we don't want your car to be illegal. Jeremy, would you tell us a little bit about your church in Trevoux? So this is your church building here, and your worship area, your auditorium there, one of your worship services happening. Tell us a little bit about what it looks like there in Trevoux. Yeah.
Sure. So we have now a community of around 140 adults, 40 kids. We have a great youth ministry. They are all camping in the forest with the Boy Scouts at the moment. So we're very thankful. And also very thankful for your three teams you sent us 3 years in a row for the English camp. So yeah, that's where we meet. The building was done 4 years ago, so we are very thankful. That's
awesome. Yeah, if you don't know, there are five French teenagers here. They're on their way back from Momentum. They were at Momentum Youth Conference all week last week.
Yes.
And they're staying here in Medina until like the 30th of July. They're going to get to know our culture some, eat our barbecue, you know, that kind of stuff. And enjoy donuts that aren't pastries at all. But they're gonna do that. We're super excited because some of them haven't. A few of them told me I've never met other Christian teenagers outside of this church. And so, you know, and so that's pretty incredible. And then they came here and they got to meet like 150 of them and go to Momentum with them and meet 2,000 of them. And so that's been pretty cool for them to do. So we're excited about that. And we sent three teenagers there as well for the missions trip not too long ago. So pretty cool. So Jeremy, maybe, like you mentioned, one of the ways that we partner with you guys is by coming to Trevoux to do the English camp. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about why it is you do the English camp, why we come to serve, and what that ministry is like.
Sure. So just a few words about the English camp. So it's basically we welcome French kids from Monday to Friday with many activities you guys organized. Thank you very much for all the teams who came. Many workshops, STEMs, culture, sports, all of that in English. And the kids practice their English. So we do the English camp first out of Christian love for our neighborhood. I know that you do that really well in Edina. And a good church would try to bless his neighborhood. We don't need more social care in Trevoux. The city hall does that super well. But families want their kids to speak English. So we give that to them. But also, you need to know that in France, people would never think faith or God would be a solution for their life. Never. That's outdated. And more than that, journalists paint a very bad picture of us. Journalists are very anti-American. I'm very sorry. I love you very much, but it's a reality. And they associate us with you. So people would not come. We face something a bit similar to what the Christian would face in the epistle of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, the Christian were not heavily persecuted by the emperor decree, for example. But they were handling lies, unfair criticism, in a very strongly. And Peter tells them, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And he tells them, for example, it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And it's really what's happening with the English camp. People who never thought in their life or never went to a church in their life, they come, they see what you guys do. They are very touched. The kids, they cry at the end of the week because they don't want to go back home. The teenager even say they enjoy their time. I want to come back next year. That's great. And that we just show them love, Jesus' love. So thank you very much.
Yeah, praise God. It's awesome how it opens doors. And I know it's awesome for us too because most of us don't speak French. And if you're like me, kids are okay with that. I just growl and they do what I say, which is pretty cool. So that was pretty awesome. But yeah, so that's pretty neat. So Tanya, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the role that missions teams play. Why we as a church send go teams to Mazatlan and what that role is. Yeah, what's the purpose?
Yeah, so we host a lot of missions teams at Shoulder to Shoulder. Basically from January 1st to July 4th, we have a team about every other week. It's one of the branches of our ministries that we do, one of the ways we can help support Mexican churches. So we host a lot of teams and we feel like it gives us an opportunity, what we call a win-win-win. It's a huge win for the Mexican church because when a team from the United States comes, they bring a lot of hands and they bring a lot of financial resources. And what they can accomplish in 1 week, a lot of times is more than what the whole church, Mexican church, could do an entire year. And so it really just pushes the vision and kind of the outreach that they have, or maybe the construction on their building. It pushes them so far in advance, and they are just thrilled. They are a relational culture. They love to get to know you guys. I mean, they host you in their homes. They're making the best food. They want your phone number. It just is a heart-to-heart relationship to them, and they are so grateful. So it's a huge win just for the Mexican church. It's a win for Shoulder to Shoulder. We say that 1 week with a missions trip with the church is about equal to 100 coffee dates. So we could take a pastor out for a cup of coffee and get to know him, but when you spend an entire week with someone, watching them lead, getting to know their congregation, getting to know their community, you really get a good pulse on how that pastor is leading his church, kind of his strengths, his weaknesses, what needs are there in the community. So it provides a really great opportunity for Shoulder to Shoulder to get a good pulse on that pastor and kind of what's going on in the community. And of course, we love to get to know the people that come from the United States as well. So it's a huge win for Shoulder to Shoulder, helping us build that relationship with the pastor, building trust with the pastor. And then it's a win for the United States Church. I mean, we host a lot of teams. So when you guys come, we handle everything from the lodging, the food, the translation. Everything is done for you. It's planned for you. We have a safe, you know, place for you to come. And it's a great opportunity, whether you're 15 or you're 65, there's something for everyone. We customize every trip. We see who's coming, what their ages are, what their gifts are, what their excitement is, you know, how do they want to serve? And we look at the Mexican church on their needs and kind of what they're hoping. And we just customize every trip. And so really there's something for everyone to come on these trips.
Yeah. So, and if you were here in April, you heard our philosophy, right, of ministry partnership. And we want to be able to have like a 360-degree partnership. We want to be providing care and all that we can for those that we partner with. And we also, we don't want it to just be us giving, or vice versa, or you just giving. But we want we want our folks to also be growing and learning. And it is, it's a perfect partnership in both cases, in France, in Mexico, where our people are challenged and your people are, it's really cool how God has kind of worked that out. I love that. You can see our missions teams, the top two pictures there are missions teams. On the right is the missions team that went this year, a couple of years ago, the one on the left. And Joel and Janira, who are at the top on the right there, led the team, and they actually have relationships with pastors that have been ongoing for a couple of years now that they call on WhatsApp and talk to on a regular basis. So that's pretty awesome that they can do that. Of course, they speak fluent Spanish, which makes it easier and which is pretty awesome. So that's cool. So Jeremy, you have several church plants through France. You talked about that a little in the East and the West. Could you tell us about what's happening in those church plants? Give us some information on what's going on, that kind of thing.
So in the east, in Châtillon,
we
are having a good life group, and we have had services since last year. It's going well. We've had this first baptism. Two ladies are discovering the gospel. One wants to be baptized as well. We are trying to bring people in. We are thinking the best way to go public, so maybe with website to have a better advertisement. There is also a young couple that is stepping in more responsibility to help us. So it's quite encouraging, and you can pray for that. We all know the parable of the sower. There are four soils, only one bear fruits. So please pray for this Eastern campus, that people would grow spiritually, persevere, stay with Jesus. On the west, we have a super team that you can see on the right there. They've been working for more than a year on how they will engage their city. And our problem now is to find a suitable worship place. So pray for that. We've tried different things. Each time the city hall said, no, that's not really the proper thing. They seem to be keen on helping us to find a solution. But we don't really would like, you know, a leaking, cold, non-heated Catholic church. That wouldn't do. And we need place for the kids as well. So please pray for breakthrough. That's really the thing we need for the West, for September, a good worship place.
Awesome. Yeah, so we can totally be praying for that. It's an awesome team there in Amplepuy. It was great to get to spend time with them and meet them. And I want you to know that, because I know a couple weeks ago you got the news, hey, please pray for what's happening on Monday, that they were going to be talking with the mayor, and they did that, and God is working. And also that we're just going to continue to be praying that God helps them find that right place, like you said. But we as a church can continually be praying for Amplepuy. You can see our three teenagers on the right there, all the way to the right, that were there in France. So they got to experience some of that church plant and be encouraged there as well, which was super cool. Jeremy, every mission field, like it seems like, has difficulties. You guys have difficulties in Mexico. You have difficulties in France. But France has some that are a little bit unique than what we often see. What would you say are your main difficulties in France?
Yes. First difficulty, it's all the time. Organized religion, such as Protestantism, Catholicism, is seen as totally outdated. Secularism is almost complete. The curves keep going down. And one pastor said, it's like when the West, Europe and France in particular, we divorced Catholicism and we divorced religion in general. So when we speak about Jesus and about the gospel, people feel like we are bringing the old partner, and we say, hey, look, that's really a great person. And people say, no, that's over. Don't even talk to me about it. To give you just another example, when we arrived in our village, we created new friendship. And 5 years afterwards, people told us, we thought you were stupid when we heard that you are a pastor. But well, your wife is a dermatologist, so she had to have some reasoning. So we respected you because of your wife, but it's a nonsense for us. And now we understand a bit better. So just to go beyond this first cultural wall, it's very hard. Second difficulty is that, it's a consequence of that, people have been untaught to think about life issues. We became very spiritually dumb. People have been drugged by leisure and pleasure. So they don't think what a good life is. So you come to them and you speak to them about Jesus, the abundant life we can have in Jesus, and people look at you with blank eyes. They don't understand. So that's also a difficulty. And administrative issues. The French regulations are a nightmare. You always have loopholes, but in the end, the mayor tells you yes or no. So you can pray for that, so that we can go through these difficulties. Maybe just a little positive note to finish. We have a new opening with the younger generation. So I'm 40. So basically, the one my age and older, it's very much blocked. But with a younger generation, with lots of migrants, lots of Islam, lots of immigrants bringing back Christianity, there is a new dialogue, a new opportunity. So yeah, we are hoping to get that.
Praise God. Yeah, praise God that there's an opening happening, and that you guys are moving out and taking the chances to make that happen. I think that's something that we can be praying for constantly, is just that God continues to make that movement. And I think it's important that we also think about that in our own culture, right? I pointed this out a couple of times, that there's 186,000 people in Medina County, and there are less than 50,000 people that attend a gospel-preaching church in Medina County, which means that there's over 133,000 people who aren't hearing the gospel, who aren't serving Jesus. And I think very much in our culture, you would probably agree with me, that we have kind of been tricked by leisure and pleasure in America, and that is kind of taking away the gospel influence. And so we can continue to pray that God shows people in France, people in Mexico, people in our country, their need for him. And so, guys, thank you all again so much for being here with us. We are so blessed to get to hear about your ministries. And so would you just answer one more question, and that is, how can we pray for you? Because we want to do that. We're going to ask all of us to pray for you here in just a minute. How can we be praying for you?
Yeah, I think for us, first off, thank you for asking that. We feel super loved by Medina, and so we just want to say thank you guys for giving us this opportunity to share. As Ben and I have kind of stepped into this new role, and we're now the directors, I think there's a heaviness that comes with that. You know, the team is now under our care. We work with about 60 pastors now. So every day at the Pastoral Center, when we're at the office, I mean, pastors are coming in. They're getting biblical counseling. They're buying resources. They're grabbing a cup of coffee, and they're sharing with us the heaviness that they carry in their leadership, right? And so I think the biggest prayer request that Ben and I pray all the time is for wisdom. Wisdom on how to mentor, wisdom on how to support. But it's not just wisdom. We add two more words to that. It's courage and obedience, because you can pray for wisdom and get it, but if you don't have the courage and obedience to actually follow through with that, then it's kind of pointless, right? So we ask for wisdom, courage, and obedience, what to say yes to, what to say no to, how to engage in conversation. And then on a personal level, we just continue a constant prayer request. It's just for protection over our family and our marriage. And anyone in ministry knows that it's not a 9-to-5 job. It can become all-consuming. At all hours, you know, your phone is going off. So just setting those healthy boundaries for our kids, for our marriage, and we love it in Mazatlan. It's our home now. We feel very comfortable there, but it definitely comes with challenges and with cost. And so even a couple weeks ago, there was a youth team on a missions trip, and it was really hard for our 12-year-old, because she's like, I will never have a youth group like that. There is no youth group in our church that we go to. And so you're kind of reminded a lot of what you don't have and kind of the cost there. And so we just pray a lot for our kids, because they're being raised in a culture, in a country where Christianity is not known. And so wisdom, courage, obedience, and then just protection over our family.
And on our side, we would be very grateful if you can pray for the new believers, for those discovering faith. 5 people have been talking about getting baptized, but you know how it can be a struggle. You need to solve your life. You need to put your life in front of Jesus. So please pray for those 5 people. Pray for that. The new believers, newcomers will persevere. That will be the main prayer request. And please pray as well for Ample Puy, for this worship place we need for September.
Thank you. Awesome. So what I'm going to ask is, we're going to have them just kind of stand up here, and I'm going to ask if you went on a missions team to Mexico or France this year, or if you're an elder or pastor here, if you wouldn't mind coming up, we're going to lay our hands on them, pray with them, and then just as a church, if you would stand up with us and just kind of agree with us as we pray, we're going to pray for them and just offer our support, and just ask God to give them their blessing. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks. Holy cow, there's a ton of people here. Wow. That's awesome. Praise God. All right. Well, let's pray for you. Yeah. Father God, thank you so much, God, for Ben and Tanya, for Jeremy, and for the work that you are doing in Mexico, in France, around the world, God. And as Tanya said, God, we ask you for wisdom, courage, What's the third one? Obedience, God. Wisdom, courage, and obedience as they continue to lead the people shoulder to shoulder, the team there, as they continue to love on and care for the pastors there. God, that you would ignite gospel movement in Mazatlan, in Topeka, in Mexico, God, and throughout our world. And just thank you for them. We also pray that you would protect their family, God. We pray that you would bring some pretty awesome teenagers that follow Jesus for their 12-year-old daughter and their other daughters, God. And just that you would give them wisdom in leading their family and loving their family. And most of all, God, would you teach those little girls that you're there with them? Because that'd be awesome throughout all that they go through, God. And for Jeremy and his family, God, would you take good care of his family? Would you bring them your blessing? God, would you bring blessing upon that ministry there in France? God, we pray for spiritual, God, for spiritual movement and for spiritual growth. Those five people who are considering baptism, God, that you would work in them. We just pray that you would have your hand mightily upon them in France. God, that you would continue that revival that's happening in Europe amongst young people, that French people would continue to come to know Jesus. God, young and old in France, that they would see the need for you and that they would turn to you. God, we are so blessed that we get to partner with these folks, and we thank you so much for the work that you are doing in them. We love you so much. Thank you, God. Keep working in mighty ways throughout our world. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks. Yeah. But you can go ahead and grab a seat. I'm just going to take 6 minutes of your time here at the end. You know, we're called, Jesus in Matthew 28:19 said, go and make disciples of all nations. And you notice that he didn't say, hey, stay where you are and hope that they come to you. No, he said, go into the nations, tell them about Jesus. We're passionate about that. We want to make disciples of the nations. We want to make disciples of those around us. We want to love people. God wants us, and he wants our world to know him. He wants his creation as human beings to know him, to know the blessing that there is in eternity with him, to have joy and peace and hope and all that comes with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the mission of God has always moved forward when God's people say, I will go. Apostle Paul said, met Jesus on Emmaus Road, and he went into the nations and told them about Jesus. And he trained up a young pastor named Timothy, and Timothy went and he led a church at a young age. And the early church went out and they served Jesus. And Grace and Patrick led a team to Trévoux, France just this month. And Joel and Janira led a team to Mazatlan, Mexico. And Johnny and Elena led a team right here in Medina to Cubs Cafe to love on the kids of our community right here. And DJ and his student ministries leaders went to inner city Philadelphia, stepped out of their comfort zone, and they loved on the people of inner city Philadelphia. And Dallas, our friend Dallas, left his comfort zone right here in Medina, and he went to serve young people and orphans and those who have just come to know Jesus on the mission field in Ukraine, in a war zone. All of them stepped out of their comfort zones because they saw the mission that God had for them. And they said, we're going to go and serve. They said, God, please lead us. They said, here I am. Send me. And the amazing thing is that God invites us all to serve him, to be part of his mission, to be part of what he is doing. And I hope more than anything else that God is working in your heart, that you would know your calling to take that gospel, that good news of Jesus into our world. It's not just for pastors, not just for missionaries or church staff. It's for every single one of us, for students and retirees, for single adults, for married couples, for families. God calls every follower of Jesus to participate in his mission. So a go team is more than a trip. It's an opportunity for us together as followers of Jesus to serve him and to serve others and to love on him. And so here's some QR codes. I'd love for you, you can scan these. You can also talk to the folks out in the lobby later. Love for you to scan those. You can join the interest group for those individual places. And when you join those interest groups, you will find out information about the go teams. You'll find out from time to time information about the ministries that are going on in those countries and in those places that we serve. And so you will hear all kinds of good stuff about what's going on in those missions. We'd love for you to sign up. We'd love for you to explore. So the band's going to come up, and I want us to ask God one question. I want us to ask God, how do you want me to be involved in your mission? God, how do you want me to be involved in your mission? And here's three important takeaways that we can have from today. I think the first, and we've said it over and over again, right, is we can pray. We have partners around the world, the church in Trévoux, in Amplifoui, in Châtillon, shoulder to shoulder, and the many churches, the 60-plus churches that they serve in Mazatlan, the people in Mexico, Ben and Tanya and their team, Naomi and her team, the rest of that team at Shoulder to Shoulder, Rob Rojas in Philadelphia, ATN and his crew in Amplifoui, France, and we need to be praying for them regularly so we can pray. And the second thing is we can go. We have a go team that's scheduled for the first week of December to go to Mazatlan, Mexico. If God is moving in you, you can go out there and talk to the team, the Mexico folks, and get on that team. We're going to go again to shoulder in June. We're going to go back to France next year, to Philly, and we're adding some other places that we're going to serve. So you can go and you can be part of those ministries. And if God is moving in your heart, we would love to have you go. And I would just give, if you're a parent, I would just give you this encouragement. A go team can be one of the greatest investments that you make in the life of your family. Many families, my family, we spend thousands of dollars to go on vacation every year. What if you were to put that into a trip that had a purpose? What if your family served together, you prayed together, you served Jesus together? What if you and your children saw firsthand what God is doing in other cities and other countries around our world? Imagine the conversations that you would have and the memories that you would build, and imagine the spiritual impact it would have on your family. Those experiences can shape a family for years to come, if not for their entire lives. And so the last thing is that we can investigate. The table's out in the lobby. Jeremy, Ben, and Tanya, our go team leaders and go team members will be out there. They would love to talk to you about the ministries that they're doing. And so let's not simply be a church that knows the Great Commission is to go and make disciples, but let's be a church that obeys that. Right? Let's be a church that prays boldly, that gives generously, and that let's serve faithfully. And if God is calling us, let's take up that call and go into our world. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, man, there are awesome things going on around our world. You are doing amazing things. Someone was talking to me about the revival that's happening in England amongst young people that's kind of happening across Europe. Jeremy mentioned young people in France that are turning to you. And God, I pray that you would ignite a fire in France, in Mexico, throughout our world. God, here in Medina, God, throughout our world, in Philadelphia and other places that we serve, God, and that your gospel would go out and that you would make a huge difference. God, I pray that you would call us to whatever your work is. And God, as a church, that we would say, here we are, send us. God, we are here to serve you and to love you and to serve others. And I pray that you would simply lead us in doing that, God. Give us, as Tanya said, wisdom, courage, and obedience. We need you, Lord Jesus, and we need you every day. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.